they have pierced. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. These are the last words that we will hear proclaimed as scripture at this church until Easter Sunday. This evening, we look on the one who was pierced for our sake. We look on Jesus, whose hands and feet were pierced with nails and whose side was pierced with a spear. And it's not easy to let our mind's eye rest on his ghastly death. It's not easy to let our thoughts linger on the scandalous paradox that the Son of God was killed at the hands of human beings. And perhaps our own hearts feel pierced now when we recall that it is for our sins also that Jesus offered himself to die, a stabbing reminder of the horror that our sin can lead to if left to run its course. But on this dark day, when the altar is stripped bare and all is shrouded in black, we are meant also to find hope in Christ's crucifixion. We are meant to see Jesus as our Savior and the cross as our salvation. The beginning of John's gospel announces Jesus as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And in John's account of the passion that we just heard, we learn how it is that the Lamb of God takes away the sin of the world. It's by exhausting the power of sin in his body, by suffering the judgment for sin, by dying in a way that reveals both the deadly seriousness of our sin and our hopelessness of ever overcoming it on our own. It is only by the cross of Christ that we have redemption. In Christ's wounds, we see both the marks of sin and the opening of our salvation. As the prophet Isaiah pronounces, he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. It can be difficult to hold both of those things in focus. They will look on the one whom they have pierced. In the mid-18th century, German Moravians used so-called side hole cards in their devotional practices. And these little 1-by-2-inch cards showed images and texts that were related to the wound in Christ's side. And so if you can picture it, many of these cards depicted the wound of Christ by itself, apart from the rest of Christ's body. And in many of these, there were scenes playing out inside of the wound, most of which were taken from everyday life. And so these pictures somehow managed to be quaint and grotesque all at the same time. There's one that shows a park that's in the wound, and there's a blood-red fountain in the center, and in the sky is written, "I go for a walk in the little side wound." Another shows a table that's set for a meal in the wound, and over it, the text reads, "There I take my meals early and late." Now, I think to most of us, this sort of piety probably seems pretty bizarre. We might think it is in poor taste at best and a little sacrilegious at worst. Setting such commonplace scenes within Jesus' wounds, imagining ourselves simply going about our day tucked into Christ's wounded flesh, that might seem to us an inappropriate way of meditating on Christ's sacrifice. It might seem too irreverent or maybe even just too weird. It might seem to violate the holiness of Christ's passion, the uniqueness and set apartness of his death. But I wonder too if there's not another reason that these images make us uncomfortable, even the inverse reason. Maybe we're also a little unsettled by the intrusion of Christ's suffering into those parts of our lives that seem to be going just fine. Maybe it makes us uneasy to frame even these innocent everyday scenes within Christ's wounds. We'd like to think that there are parts of life where Christ wouldn't need to intervene. We might like these things to be set apart as well. But what these little devotional cards force us to see, as tasteless as we might judge them to be, is that there is no part of life that has not been covered in Christ's sacrifice. And actually, that is good news. Because what it means is that these pleasant, cheery moments are not just the few remaining goods in a world gone bad that we must cling to desperately, but rather they are signs pointing to the restoration of all things in Christ. Christ died for the world to reconcile the whole world to God. And now we see a world where we have been hidden in Christ's wounded side, saved from the powers of sin and death. As the hymn puts it, "Rock of ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee." Another of the cards shows a man standing in Christ's wound, but where his head should be, there is instead another side wound. And the text on the card reads, "Headless and unlearned." The historian Craig Atwood assures us that it's unlikely that the artist is saying that people should lose their minds in devotion to the Savior. Rather, even this bizarre image is consistent with the theme of living one's life entirely in Christ and knowing nothing but Christ. St. Paul would probably add, "and him crucified." And again, this image probably rubs us the wrong way. I know I wouldn't want to be described as headless and unlearned. But what this picture is getting at, I think, is not that there's anything wrong with learning or with not keeping one's wits about oneself. Rather, it's pointing to the fact that the crucifixion transcends all human ability. "We proclaim Christ crucified," Paul declares, "a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those who are the called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom, and God's weakness is stronger than human strength." It is God's power to save, not our own, on which we rely. It is God's wisdom, not our own, that saves us. And the more we see this embodied in Christ's pierced side, the image of the card seems to suggest the more that we will have the mind of Christ. They will look on the one whom they have pierced. Martin Luther famously claimed, "The cross tests everything. If we desire to see God, we must look on the crucified Christ." Commenting on Luther, the church historian Ronald Rutgers writes, "The only God available to human beings was a suffering God, the God who suffered with and for humanity." This meant that Christians had to look for God in suffering, both God's and their own. It is exactly through Christ's pierced side that we see the heart of God. And what do we see when we look on God's heart? We see a divine love for us that is so great it would rather bear the full weight of sin than be separated from us. We see a God who, in Jesus Christ, willingly accepts his own death in order to give us life. This is the hope that sustains us even in our darkest and most painful moments, in the moments that for human power and wisdom would be hopeless. In Christ's pierced body, we see that God's love is more powerful even than death. Amen.